This podcast was recorded Thursday, July 16th at 10:33 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like coronavirus data might be going to federal housing officials, maybe the Peace Corps?
No, they would never divert disease data away from the Centers for Disease Control. They would never do that. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly trek through the wilderness of Ohio politics. I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown. Coming up in the program, we will hand out our weekly Snollygoster of the Week award. First, though, the latest on pandemic-related politics in Ohio. Governor DeWine stepped to the podium Wednesday evening for a live televised address.
Yeah, it's a big deal. All of Ohio waited with bated breath. TV and radio stations interrupted programming. Maybe he'd issue a statewide mask mandate. Or even more seriously, maybe he would move to shut down businesses again. Well, Governor DeWine says,
that's a discussion for another time.
Wah, wah. The governor did nothing new, at least when it comes to new policy meant to limit the spread of coronavirus. He did issue a strong warning, saying Ohio is getting a second chance to fight off the worst of the pandemic, but likely won't get a third.
We must act, and we must act now. My friends, this is not a drill. This certainly is not any hoax. This is not a dress rehearsal. It's the real thing. The enemy is here, and Ohioans have simply come too far in this fight to cede ground now.
Here are some of the recent numbers that motivated DeWine to basically act like your frustrated or disappointed grandfather. Coronavirus cases are up. They're way up. We're averaging more than 1,000 new cases a day as of the last 10 days or so. That's up from 400 cases a day a month ago.
That's a big jump. Governor DeWine also tried to dispel the myth that all of that increase can be blamed on increased testing.
Testing has gone up by 87%. But our number of positive cases has skyrocketed to almost 200%.
DeWine using more of a scalpel on TV, if you will, than an axe. And this is a very different approach from when the governor took the pandemic by the horns in March. He was closing schools, non-essential businesses. He even issued a mask mandate that he retracted about 12 hours later. Why do you think there's a lighter approach right now, Mike?
I think he's listening to his economic advisors, and I think he's listening to his political advisors. And let's face it, Mike DeWine is a small government conservative. He does not support government regulation. He does not support in any way government involvement in the private lives of individuals or businesses. So it was against his political philosophy to issue those orders.
Right. He was more out of character in March than it is now.
And he was very, you could tell in the news conferences back then, if you remember, he was very reluctant to close schools, to close bars, to order everyone to stay home. But the scientist then, the health director, Amy Acton at the time, was urging him to do it. And he was very bold. Now he's much more cautious when it comes to telling people to even wear masks, and certainly even more cautious when it comes to telling businesses they have to close up again.
Yeah, the governor of Alabama, ironically, Alabama, we associate with small government Republicans. They're being tough on masks. Walmart, Starbucks, Sam's Club, they're all being tough, instituting mask mandates.
I mean, think about that.
DeWine's still, I don't understand I guess you would call it intellectual dissonance here, where DeWine is insisting that masks are so great. Right? He spends a lot of this time imploring Ohioans to wear masks. Please wear masks. Please wear masks. He's a hair away from a mask mandate at that point.
Yeah, there's no mistaking. He says we should all be wearing masks anytime we leave the house. He is very clear on that, but he won't go to the mandate. And, you know, during his speech on Wednesday, he talked about how Ohioans, and he praised Ohioans for making extraordinary sacrifices in the spring when they stayed home from work, when they didn't go out to bars and restaurants.
Became homeschool teachers.
Well, Ohio didn't choose to make those extraordinary sacrifices. Mm-hmm. They were ordered to. There were statewide orders that say office workers cannot go into the office if they were non-essential. Bars and restaurants were closed. People lost their jobs But it wasn't because they volunteered.
No, the state, shut them down.
Ordered them to do that. But now he's not willing to do that. So it is a very different strategy.
DeWine is a former prosecutor, right? He started his career as the Greene County prosecutor in Western Ohio. In the beginning, in March, he did take some, he sort of let Ohioans know what was at stake before he really brought out the hammer and shut down schools, shut down restaurants. He could be doing the same thing here, right? He could be a day or so, 2 days, whatever. He could be close to saying, hey, schools are not going to reopen in the fall. Businesses are going to shut down again, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's what a prosecutor does. He builds a case, or she builds a case. You lay out the facts in front of a group of people who are lay people, a jury in this case, and you try to get them to see things your way. You try to get a guilty verdict. And he could be doing that. He could be step by step laying out the case for why we need to mandate masks, why we need to shut down certain businesses, why we need certain orders. So that could be what he's doing.
Again, going back to March, we're at higher numbers now than we were in March when we shut down the economy.
Much higher.
He could conceivably, he has the same scientific evidence to shut down the economy as he did in mid-March. You would think that at this point, he's not acting, at least partly because of political pressure.
It has to be. Also, you know, the economic, we can't discount the economic concerns. I mean, it's terrible to shut down businesses. I mean, you remember the highways when this thing first happened. There was nobody on the highway.
Right.
Everything was shut down. People were losing their jobs left and right. We had 17% unemployment. And that is terrible. And that has health effects itself. We've seen how suicides are up. We've seen how the opioid overdoses are up. And, you know, we don't
crime
know
is
what
up.
Crime is up. So there are health impacts to shutting down the economy. And that could be a reason why the governor is not acting as quickly. Not to mention the economic impact, the effect on tax revenues, both for the city and the state. But you have to think that he is hearing from the far right of his party that do not want him to do anything. Just let individuals make their own choices and encourage people to do the right thing and hope they do and beat the pandemic that way.
We're a year at least away from knowing if we're doing the right thing, right? I mean, we're still maybe 2 years, maybe longer than that. Who knows when we're going to get a vaccine and when we'll have herd immunity. But we're still so far away from knowing whether we're handling this correctly.
I know. I mean, you just look at, I mean, you've seen the blowback that Dr. Fauci is getting from his from Trump's own administration. And, you know, early on, he did not think masks were going to be helpful. And he was, at that time, that's what he thought. But, you know, it's the way science works. You know, we learn things as we go along. And you're right. We don't know. We won't know. We like I always say, we don't know what we don't know about this virus right now. And, you know, there'll be a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now. But most people now say if 90% of us wore masks on a regular basis, it really could cut down on the spread of the virus. So that seems pretty simple. I mean, it was summertime. Why not ban indoor dining? Yes, it would really hurt the fine dining restaurants. And
right.
But now, if you're going to, you can keep restaurants open for the summer without having spread indoors. Outdoors helps. Stay outdoors.
You know who would really help make this case? Amy Acton.
Where is she?
The former health department director who resigned for really unknown circumstances still at this point. She obviously was not with the governor on Wednesday night. She will not be with the governor on Thursday during his biweekly coronavirus press conference. She would really help make the case, especially with among more liberal people who, you know, if you drive through certain neighborhoods of Columbus, there are still signs that say Amy Acton fan club member. She would really help send that case home with these people who are upset with DeWine for not taking action last night. And she's nowhere to be seen, and some people could say that's telling.
My guess is she would be more on the at least mandate mask side, if not shut down bars and movie theaters and things like that. But she's not. The governor says that he speaks with her every day. She's still an advisor on the state payroll and in the DeWine administration. So we don't know how much advice he's getting from scientists at this point. We assume he's getting some, and I believe him when he says he's talking to scientists, as well as his political and economic advisors. But he's also out there all alone. You know, early on, Amy Acton took a lot of the heat and for the decisions. And now it's just him. It's just him out there. And that's a different dynamic as well.
Democrats as I just said, not particularly happy with DeWine not taking any action on Wednesday. The far right faction of the Republican Party, the Larry Householder sect, if you will, I would suppose they're mildly pleased with the governor not imposing a mask mandate, not shutting down businesses again, but he's still not in their best graces right now.
I think Larry Householder said, quote, he did a nice job with his Wednesday speech, DeWine did.
Sort of faint praise.
Yeah. So basically, I think if he had mandated masks, the legislature would have been all over him. If they had shut down businesses again, they've already think that the governor has overreached in his power. You know, Mike DeWine is in a very strong position politically right now. His approval rating is about above 70%. His approval rating among Democrats is higher than it is among Republicans. There's no Democrat out there. If the election were held today, there's no Democrat who would even come close.
Not even close, right. Not even close. There's no one with nearly the name recognition, the experience, anything.
And honestly, if he would have election would be held today, I think he would win a GOP primary. But if he would have shut the state down again and we were to go back into a deep recession, I think he would get primaried. I think there would be a candidate that would run against him in the primary, whether it's former Congressman Jim Renacci, who's been out making noise. Larry Householder has thought about running for governor in the past. Who's to say he wouldn't run again? DeWine has to be keeping an eye on that. And so does John Husted.
It's crazy to see where we are right now compared to where we were just a month ago, both politically and both scientifically. I mean, I don't want to say we thought we were in the clear, because we've all along predicted sort of a second wave to come in the fall. But I don't think anyone saw this reverting back to March this quickly.
No. No, we thought it was going to, we thought we had our spring peak, it was going to come back down, and the first wave would be, we're still in the first wave. This is still the first wave. It sort of plateaued and went down a little bit, now it's going back up. I wouldn't say this is a second wave. I mean, the book that the Governor DeWine, I'm reading the book that Governor DeWine mentioned during his speech, The Great Influenza by John Barry, in the fall of 1918, totally eclipsed the first wave of that pandemic. It's not even close. It was much more deadly, and it spread much more quickly.
It's just such a turnaround. It's such a quick turnaround from a couple weeks ago when, you know, the Ohio State football team was coming out with plans for the fall. Their players were back in camp. The NFL came out with a schedule. Everything seemed like it was at least going to be pseudo-normal, right? Major League Baseball started spring training. Major League Soccer is hosting their tournament in Orlando. And now it's just become a much darker narrative.
And it's not – California had really tough restrictions.
And now they're back to step one.
And their cases blew up as well. Mm-hmm. So, like you said earlier, we won't know exactly what the right call was probably for years from now, but masks seems to be an easy one at this point.
Anyway, we'll be right back.
On All Sides with Ann Fisher, we cover the topics that affect life in Central Ohio, from immigration to the economy to the continuing opioid crisis.
But the reality is, if you don't save someone who's overdosed, they have no opportunity to recover.
Hear thoughtful, in-depth conversations about the issues that matter now. Subscribe to the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week Award, where we honor, I guess you could say honor, right? I don't know if it's
yes,
an honor or
an
not.
Honor.
We honor the shrewdest political move of the week.
This week, it has to go to Mike DeWine. He cancels his regular briefing on Tuesday, then schedules a special address at 5:30 the next day. So it's kind of like pandemic primetime. Isn't 5:30 like pandemic primetime?
I guess so.
He asks every TV and radio station to carry it live. We all expect him to make some kind of significant announcement, and then, well, you know.
For another time, Mike.
For another time.
He'll announce it another time. For raising expectations, getting much of Ohio to stop what they were doing to listen to him, including my wife and I, who were on our way to date night last night. I'm listening to Mike DeWine on the radio during
date. How romantic.
I know, right? Because I'm thinking, oh, God, I might have to turn around. I might have to go home and work. Nothing. So I guess for that, I thank him. I got to go out to dinner last night.
There you go.
So anyway, Mike DeWine, our Snollygoster of the Week. If you have a suggestion for next week, you can email it to us at snollygoster@wosu.org. As always, be sure to tell your friends about us. Word of mouth. Leave us a good review on iTunes. Anything you can do to get the word out about us. Special thanks, as always, to our student producer, Jack Long. Also, our audio extraordinaire, Eric French. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.